Cool. I'm here to take us till one. Allow myself to read a bit from my notes. Let my nerves settle down a bit. This is not my usual job. This is it's my moonlighting business. I tip my hats to the guys who usually speak. It looks way easier from the pews than what it is from the pulpit. So, yep, next time you want to pass a comment, think about that. So, Zach, you flick my slides up. So, my brief was to discuss how do we honor the living Word of God, Jesus. And I would, to tie in with what Lindsay just covered on the written word. So I thought I'll try and answer that. That's basically my brief. If you want to follow, that's the scripture I'll use, main scripture cross references. Welcome to follow in your Bible. I'll rattle off the cross references. If you can maybe just follow on the main scripture, that can help. So my message outline is effectively that. The purpose, life, light and the receival thereof, and then finally answering my question. But before we go too far, let us pray, please. Dear God, thank you that we can gather in your name today, freely, with no hindrance, by choice. Thank you for a church family that is eager and receptive for your inerrant word, the written and the living. Help us to observe, interpret, and apply it the way you intended us to. Please lead and guide me during this message. Let the words that come out of my mouth be from you, not me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so in my attempt to answer my big question on how do we honor the living Word of God, I thought I'll approach it by unpacking John 1, verses 1 to 12, the inductive Bible study way, through observation, interpretation, and application. But I want to start off with the purpose first for the book of John. I think it's a good start if we can, in answering my question, to start there. And John himself explains to us why he wrote his gospel in John 20, verse 30 and 31. John 20, verse 30 and 31 reads, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." Also in 1 John 5 verse 13 he writes, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." My interpretation of that observation, which I just read to you from that two verses, is that the Gospel of John was written for a twofold purpose. That you may believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and through believing in Jesus Christ, one may share in the eternal life in His name. In John 1 verses 1 to 12, Apostle John uses various portrayals, or otherwise known as word pictures, of who or what Jesus is. Let's open our Bibles to John 1 verses 1 to 12 and read what it says. While you find that in your Bible, I'm going to take a quick sip of water. So it's John 1 verses 1 to 12. John 1 verses 1 to 12 reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So my second bit is then thus life. In verses 1 and 2, John the Apostle establishes that Jesus is the Word who was with God in the beginning. According to verse 3, all things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. Cross-referencing to what Paul wrote in Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Cross-referencing to Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. My interpretation of this is that Jesus existed in the beginning, long before being born of Mary, thus being eternal. By virtue of being the creator and sustainer of life, all things were made by him, and all things are held together by him. His work in the beginning of time has thus great significance for us. If you want to understand the heart of God, his nature, just look at Jesus. That is something which, yeah, for me, that's sort of how I summarized it. Looking into the light and the receival thereof, observing John 1, verses 1 to 12, in verse 4 he says that Jesus was life and the life was the light of men. In verse 5, he continues talking about the light by saying that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. In verses 6 to 9, John the Apostle introduces John the Baptist, sent from God to bear witness about the true light coming into the world, who is giving light to everyone. Another cross-reference, John 12, verses 35 and 36 reads, so Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. In verses 10 and 11, John declares what becomes evident later in his gospel. Not everyone was willing to receive Jesus. Even his own people rejected him. Once again, my interpretation of this is that as the creator and sustainer of life, Jesus is uniquely qualified to bring light to the world. Where's my pointer? I added that from the previous bit. He calls for us to believe in the light that we may become sons of the light. Presently, we live in a world of darkness where people spend their lives stumbling in ignorance, alienated from God because of their ignorance. They are fumbling for something to cling to in the absence of their belief. My interpretation is that those who stumble and fumble for something in darkness has not received Jesus as their light. But, in verse 12 lies the contrast, the but. For all those who did receive Him, they were truly blessed. They have the right to become children of God. Receiving Jesus Christ gives us the authority and ability to become sons of God. So in answering my question of how do we honor the living word Jesus, I would say when you are a follower of someone, you are open and receptive to what they say. You believe in them and you are willing to obey them. To receive Jesus Christ, you must believe in His name. We must believe in Him. Believing in Him gives us the right to become children of God. Our faith in Him moves us to obey Christ. So in answering my original question on how do we honor the living word Jesus, the answer is by believing in the living word, by believing in Jesus and obeying Him.